In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's a beautiful day in San Francisco, actually. For this time of year, one could almost say unseasonably beautiful. But that's not true in the rest of the country, and we know that a good part of the country is being affected by a hurricane and now tropical storm that has greatly upset their lives, caused property damage. I think at least one death that I read about, maybe more, etc. Displacement, it's a horrible thing. And we here at Holy Trinity, well, thank God we've never endured a hurricane. We are not unfamiliar with water. The very land that we're on was originally designed to help water run off from higher elevations in the city to lower elevations. And then it was filled in when they made Brotherhood Way. And we know that through the years we've had our own challenges with water here, mud sliding down hills, water coming through the sides of the church, most recently water coming into the Christopher Center. And there's something about water, it's relentless, and it finds a sea level. It has this absolute attraction to sea level. And the only way that water can be diverted is for somebody to put something in its way. Otherwise, water is going to find its way down to the sea. That's the way God ordered the world. It's perfect. And it is 100% of the time true. Water is always going to find its way to the lowest possible level. Obviously, I'm not talking about the use of impellers or pumps or any such thing. Well, there was a natural order to the world before the fall of humanity. And the natural order of the world is described right in the beginning of Genesis when God says, "Let us make man in our image and likeness." And he made you and me originally. He made mankind in his image and likeness. In his image means that we are different from other creatures. We have the capacity to create. We have the capacity to do new things. We have the capacity to know God. And likeness meaning that we have the potential to be in communion with him. That was the natural order of the world, for human beings to proceed unimpeded towards God the same way that water was built and designed to make its way unimpeded towards sea level. That was our natural tendency. And then came the fall of mankind, and that natural tendency got affected because we now live in a world marked by original sin, which means what? It means that we live in a world where it's often easier to do the wrong thing than the right thing. It's often easier to do the wrong thing than the right thing. It's as if a bunch of dams have been put up all around us now, and the water is trying to find its way to sea level, but instead it gets bounced here or there or another place. That's not natural. It's not the way it was intended. Which is why Jesus had to become one of us. Last past Wednesday in the appointed epistle reading, we read this about Jesus. "Brethren, have this in mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as the thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men." He assumed our likeness so that all of those obstructions towards our natural tendency and inclination to be in communion with God could be stripped down, broken away, if we would only join ourselves to him. That comes from Philippians, by the way. I think many people know that. So Jesus came to put things right again, to make it natural. And here is the truth. Here is the absolute truth of Christianity. It's the reason, I hope and pray, the principal reason you and I are here today. The truth about Christianity is that when we are baptized, when we are chrismated, when we live the life of the church, when we join ourselves to Jesus Christ, we then have the power to reject temptation. We have the power to not sin. We have the potential to live in eternal communion with God. That's why we're Christian. That's why God became man. That's why we are here today, so that we have that very special power. That power, if you will, to proceed unimpeded towards that divine calling of being with our Heavenly Father forever in this life and in the next. Now there is a challenge, if you will, a problem for those of us who are being saved. I'm talking about those of us sitting here today who are baptized, chrismated, Orthodox Christians in this case, living the life of the church. There's a problem. And that is this, we keep diverting the water. Jesus came to tear down all the obstructions. He came down to make it possible again for us to be with him so that he could be in our hearts. And yet we keep standing in the way of him. We keep putting up barriers. We can feel bad about it, and we should, but every generation of Christians before us has done that, because this is the very vexing thing about being fallen human beings, about living in this fallen world of ours. In this morning's gospel reading, we hear about one young man and his dialogue with Jesus, and we find out what his barrier is. We find out why it is that God cannot come into his heart fully. It's because of his riches. Jesus identifies it. He could have identified something else in the young man, but he knew that this is what the problem was for him. And so his natural tendency to be with God was being obstructed by his love of riches, which is why Jesus says, get rid of them. Get rid of them. It's better. It's better to do that so that you can proceed towards me uninhibited and so that I can come inside of you. Now, I wanted to take a look at some of the ways that we erect our own barriers, the ways that even though we are being saved, you and I, that somehow we do things that do not allow Christ to come into our hearts. We want to stand in his way, and I thought one way to do that is to take some words of St. Paul and just flip them upside down a bit. These are well-known words that come from Ephesians. Therefore, take the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the equipment of the gospel of peace. Besides all these, taking the shield of faith with which you can quench all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So St. Paul says, gird yourself with truth. And I would say to me and to every other Christian who struggles to follow Jesus and to let him come into their hearts, I would say to this, stop lying to ourselves and see the truth about ourselves. See that we're not perfect. See that we are far from it. See how much we need God. Stop kidding ourselves. And sometimes we look in the mirror and we go, I know I'm doing this and I'm doing that, but everything else in my life is okay. And instead, we shouldn't do that. We should go look at our icon and say, Lord, help me to confront the real truth about myself. The breastplate of righteousness. Well, unfortunately, instead of seeking to be just, so often in life we seek to do things that are perverted and wrong. There are a lot of people today clamoring for justice publicly, and you can have your own decision about whether you want to join them or if they're doing the right or the wrong thing. But we need more people clamoring for justice privately in our own lives. I need justice in my life. We need to turn away from things that are perverted and wrong, because when we embrace things that are perverted, all we're doing is making it more and more difficult for Christ to come into our heart. There's the gospel of peace. And why is it that so many people like fighting? They like fighting everywhere, on cable news, in public, fighting for a parking spot. I talk to churches around the country and to priests, and I'm reminded that so many churches enjoy fighting. People like fighting, and I don't know why, because it's so dissatisfying ultimately. In the short term, we might get some perverse pleasure out of it, but instead we should be generators of peace. And if people want to fight, embrace them, listen to them. We are to have the shield of faith, according to St. Paul, and that's great. And I say, run to faith and run away from religion. And religion, by that I mean zealous thinking that is the product of our emotions. So many people have religious views towards their political perspective, the state of the climate, and on it goes. And instead of, that's why they can't discuss things, by the way, rationally, because They are so driven by their emotions. They're as emotionally driven as somebody in a primitive society dancing around a fire with their eyes rolling back. And that's why we embrace faith, the real living relationship with the real living God. And that is what we are to have, that shield of faith. And when you and I choose to follow God first and to know Him first, it keeps us, it keeps from being seduced by emotionally driven, hyper-religious thinking that really has nothing to do with lived Christianity. There is this helmet of salvation. And we should know, if we put on the helmet of salvation, that we are being saved. Know that we are being saved. Game over, it's done. Jesus completed it all on the cross and the empty tomb. So if you and I know that we're being saved, then don't run from that truth. Run to it. Run away from ignorance. Ignorance with regard to what we're supposed to be doing as Christians, what we should know as Christians, how we should live as Christians. Because yes, we are being saved. And then finally, there is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And when St. Paul's writing this, there is no New Testament. So sometimes people very narrowly take that and they go, this is the Word of God, or this is right here, this is the sword of the Spirit, follow it. But St. Paul's speaking specifically about the words that God spoke. The words that God spoke in the Old Testament, the word that God spoke in the New Testament. Jesus speaking. Follow those words. Follow those words. And if we think about our own lives and how it is that we get detoured, how it is that we sometimes do not fulfill our natural calling, isn't it because we chose to go our own way rather than listening to the things that God says we're supposed to do? Now, I mentioned earlier, at Holy Trinity, we've kind of become accustomed to thinking about water in terms of damage, but we can think about water in good ways. This is not a laugh line. This is something to be grateful for. Recently, Stan put in hot water in the bathrooms. Isn't it great? Yes. And so we know some good things about water around here, but if after liturgy you go happen to use the sink in the bathroom, look at that water going down the drain. It goes down the drain just the way God intended it to. It is the natural way for water to behave. Our path towards God should be just that natural, because Jesus Christ came to restore that path to Him. And so if we find ourselves as baptized, chrismated, practicing Christians, if we find ourselves not growing spiritually, we need to ask ourselves, what are we doing wrong? What is it that we lack, just like that young man who came up to Jesus in this morning's gospel? What is the thing that's getting in the way of letting Jesus come into our hearts? He wants to save us, but somehow we do our best to resist Him by avoiding the truth, by caving into what is unjust and perverted, by reducing the amount of peace around us, by being content in our ignorance, by ignoring the Word of God. Here is the truth for this morning, dear brothers and sisters. Jesus is trying to save us. You and me, right here, right now. We need to make sure that we stay out of His way.